You're listening to The Cult, presented by Hybrid Marketing Co. In each episode, we explore the dynamics of this rapidly growing sector with our host, Jen Lamboy, along with expert guests. She'll delve into the complex interplay between cannabis business, culture, and marketing, equipping you with insights to amplify business outcomes in this rapidly evolving space. Now, let's start the show.
So I need to talk about terpenes, or maybe more so talk about the talk around terpenes, because it seems to be changing in the cannabis industry, not only on the inside of the industry, but also on the consumer side. So I'm sitting down today with Kurt Robbins. He is the founder and director of course development at Higher Learning LV. His new course is called Core Cannabis. He and I met years ago on a webinar on terpenes. And for the past two decades, Kurt has been writing about the biochemistry and science of the wellness molecules produced by plants. So he has since developed more than 600 educational articles about cannabis and its health components. So not only terpenes, but cannabinoids, flavonoids, the human endocannabinoid system. And in 2019, this is probably right around the time we met, Kurt, you had just developed a 50-page white paper regarding the hemp cannabinoid CBG, which, you know, that further explored a fourth potential species among the unique plant genus. So I'm really, really, really excited to kind of dive in with you. I also must say, in the presence of Kurt Robbins talking about terpenes, I'm probably going to sound really dumb as we have the conversation.
As long as we all walk out smarter, mission accomplished, right?
Yeah.
Because awesome. Well, we all got to learn something.
Right. Well, and your focus is so much on the education and training side of this industry. And we see, you know, we see retailers a lot of times, even brands, all kinds of organizations, when we as a cannabis marketing agency ask, what are your core differentiators in the marketplace? And they say education. But I'm curious to know, you know, how much education are we actually doing in this space? And so that's why I really wanted to have you on here to school us for sure.
Well, not enough, right? But that's, of course, what a training and education vendor like myself is going to say. They're going to say, you know, you need to buy more stuff from me. My services are valuable. But ignorance is a real problem, and ignorance is pervasive because we've had almost a century of prohibition, and that prohibition came with misinformation and urban legends and disinformation, and it created this machine that purposely tried to confuse people. Again, more than 90 years of that, and now in just a few years, we're trying to get beyond generations of confusion and miscomprehension, and that's not easy. Like, sometimes when I think about it, I'm like, why did I choose this business? Couldn't I have chosen something less challenging? But really, that's what we're dealing with now. You combine that almost century of misinformation with the inherent complexity of the plant. And when we say the plant, botanically, the species is Cannabis sativa L. Under that, just to kind of nutshell it for our listeners, there's hemp and there's marijuana. Because in that model, we're looking at marijuana as being psychoactive and hemp being not psychoactive. And when we think of hemp, we typically think of CBD. Earlier, you mentioned CBG. That's another molecule. But this plant species produces almost 500 different molecules. And that is such an inherently complex situation. How do people like you and I, whether we're core education, core marketing, core sales, core operational efficiency, how do we convey that to our end customers? You know, the person walking into a dispensary and saying, my doctor told me I should get more alpha-pinene, and that's a terpene. What's a terpene? Mm-hmm. Help me out here, right? How does a buntender respond to that? And I don't think that's easy. I think it's really complicated, and we're all struggling to deal with it.
Well, with it being so complex, I guess it's no mystery that it would be maybe an area that we could expand on the education side, especially we're looking at more and more states coming online, whether they are medical or adult use. There's going to be some canna curious, of course. There's going to be, you know, I think about, you know, the like older generations who are looking for pain management alternatives to, you know, prescription drugs. So where do consumers even start? And if we know that they will likely be starting with a bud tender, that's a kind of tricky question. Sorry.
it's tough because I've talked to a lot of bud tenders who say that a very typical customer is a senior citizen. They're mm-hmm. retired. They might suffer chronic pain. It's likely they have arthritis. All of these things typically lead to sleep issues. And so, and the bud tenders tell me that the customer will do a quick Google search, like in the parking lot of the dispensary, Leafly or Weed Maps or one of the big media outlets pops up and gives them kind of a background. And then they walk in and based on that 30-second knowledge, they hit up the bud tender and say, how can you help me with what I'm suffering? And most of the bud tenders are very sincere in wanting to help the customer, but they express to me kind of an inability. And you know, we don't necessarily kick ourselves in the teeth and say, I wasn't able to help my customer. But they are honest enough with me that they tell me that they weren't able to help the customer to the extent that they wanted to. Now, part of that is just time cycles. They don't have 90 minutes to sit there and lecture the customer on terpenes or flavonoids or cannabinoids or CBG or CBN or THC Delta 9 or whatever it is, right? They just don't have the time. Time is like the big enemy. So the bud tenders tell me that they relish when a customer comes in and they've already educated themselves. You know, they've already spent those hours getting to know that. So if time is such a challenge for us, I think if we're good at our jobs, that we learn how to compress time and we learn how to take these complex subjects about things like terpenes and to express and articulate them in a very short period of time, because consumers just don't. It's one of my biggest challenges with my seminars and courses is how can I give maximum knowledge or whatever word I'm going to use? How can I convey maximum information in the shortest possible period of time? Because most people don't want a 45-hour college course. Let me take back the word want. They don't have the time. Right? They got busy lives. They got kids. They got a mortgage. They got two jobs, whatever. They got the side hustle. They just do not have the time to indulge in something like that. So again, I'm always thinking efficiency ratios. How do we give them a basic understanding of and a true understanding of what a terpene is, what a flavonoid is, what a cannabinoid is, CBN, CBG, CBT, what is all this stuff? It's alphabet soup. That's what most consumers tell me. They say it comes off as alphabet soup and that people like us are just spouting alphabet soup. And I'm like, okay, so how do we fix that problem?
Sure. Well, and I wonder also how the conversation around terpenes is evolving, because when you're saying some, you know, here, maybe let's say a patient comes into a dispensary because they've heard of one, there's a recommendation from a physician. I wonder how rare that actually is, or if it's becoming more and more common as the education bar is lifted around, even specifically around terpenes. My guess is that, well, like you said, there's probably still not enough conversation, but how foreign are terpenes, do you think, to consumers?
Well, if we think of it as kind of a hierarchy of education, does the consumer understand Delta 9 THC? Let's assume they do. They have the basic, they have a comfort level and a basic comprehension of Delta 9 THC. All right. Do they also have the same with CBD? Because those are the two big molecules, of course, right, that are marketed and sold and responsible for billions of dollars in commerce right now in the United States. So if they can get to that level of Delta-9 THC and CBD and not being intimidated or confused by them, I think only then can they jump up to terpenes. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if they get a comfort level with terpenes, then we can start throwing crazy stuff like flavonoids and, you know, lipofusion and nanoemulsion and infused beverages, you know, because everybody loves beverages and we all want infused beverages. But it is just, again, so inherently chemically, biochemically complex that it kind of defies good marketing, because good marketing keeps it simple. 1, 2, 3. You know, you go to McDonald's, I want a number one, I want a number seven. You know, I just want to keep this interaction, this transaction really simple. Sorry, I've got a helicopter going over right now.
I can't even tell. Well, also I think around, you know, maybe even more so on the THC side too, what we are seeing or thinking also is that maybe there's a shift from folks coming in the door asking for specifically just based on price and percent THC, but maybe they're asking a bit more on terpenes and depending on the bud tenders to be able to drive them to the right products.
Right. I think you hit on it earlier. When someone walks into the door of a dispensary, they're seeking a solution for something. Now, and I know it's controversial, but not everyone believes in recreational. They think it's all medical, and I get that and respect that. But we have to most respect the customer. So the customer is seeking psychoactivity. They're seeking decreased pain from arthritis. They're seeking, I would love to sleep through the night because it's been weeks since I've done that. Right? They're seeking some sort of solution. And when, again, think of that hierarchy, does Delta-9 THC give me the solution I'm looking for? Well, I went to my dispensary, they gave me some joints or they gave me some loose leaf. I took it home, I put it in a bowl, I smoked it. It helped me with some things, but didn't help me with others. So if you find that, okay, that's Delta-9 does that, how do I deal with the things that Delta-9 did not help? Is that CBD? Because everybody's heard of CBD. But maybe CBD didn't quite help me either. So maybe that's CBG. Oh, wait, I just heard about this thing called terpenes. So how the heck, what do terpenes do, right? And, you know, I bore people all day long with hundreds of articles on my website about the biochemistry of terpenes and how they interact with the endocannabinoid system and the CB1 and the CB2 receptors and all that. It can get extremely complex. But I think at the end of the day, the consumer, in a way, and we need to respect this, just doesn't care about that complexity. They're like, look, do I get a solution or not? You know, when I go buy a Coke, I get a carbonated refreshment and they do what they told me they were going to do. And I gave them their 175 or whatever. How do we accomplish that on the cannabis side, right? How do hemp and marijuana give consumers the solutions they're seeking and not frustrate them? Because we know, and you and I talked about this earlier, if we frustrate them, they're just going to go to the competition. And I'm hearing stories from customers and patients who are frustrated at dispensary number one, so they go to dispensary number two, they get more frustration, they go to dispensary number three, they get more frustration, and sometimes they just give up. And that just breaks my heart, quite honestly, to hear that a patient decides that, no, this marijuana thing, it just ain't helping me, so screw it. That's because, you know, I'm an optimist. I would like to think that there's, of all those nearly 500 molecules produced by the plant, there's something in there that can help them, right? Maybe I'm wrong, but that's my belief.
Sure, right. Well, also, you know, you think about brands and the restrictions around making claims within the space, you know, again, coming from the marketing world, and we're working with brands specifically, packaging. Folks don't want to say, you know, they don't want to make claims on websites that are going to get them in trouble. Are terpenes a way that they can, you know, describe similar effects, or not similar, but effects that might, you know, be tied to a particular product without.
Perhaps. Well, yeah. Perhaps. I like where you're going there. Like I say, even beyond terpenes, then we have flavonoids, and the flavonoids are produced by a lot of plants other than hemp and marijuana, as are terpenes. And let's frame that here for a second. Cannabinoids are produced mostly just by cannabis, as the Latin root name it encourages us to believe, right? Cannabinoids from cannabis. Scientifically, we have discovered a few other plant species that produce cannabinoids. So it's kind of, some of us are mind blown right now that, this thing that we believe for the last 20 years is not entirely true. I've put out articles and podcast episodes saying there's a reason they're called cannabinoids. They're only produced by cannabis. And then we find this research that says, that's not entirely true. So again, it's very, very complex. But molecules like terpenes and flavonoids, two of their primary efficacies or biochemical effects in the human body are a reduction of inflammation. That's one of them. Sometimes we get pain relief, and flavonoids especially, cancer relief. Like some of the research I'm reading on the flavonoids makes me think that they're more powerful against cancer than even terpenes and cannabinoids.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
So,
going back to what you were saying, because there was such prohibition for so many years, trying overcorrect. There's a lot of I don't want to say overcorrect because it's in the right direction, but there's a lot of things popping up. Not only in this, in the chemical world, but you think about in the legal world, we're rewriting the script in many different sectors of the world that we live in right now because of this plant.
I think you kind of nailed it when you said making claims. There's so many good companies and so many good players in the space right now. But you go to their websites and you look at their blog or you look at their collection of podcast episodes, and intelligently, they are legally avoiding claims. It's almost like they don't have a vocabulary. They can't talk. And I realize that's where I'm kind of blessed, because I make claims all day long. I'm the heretic. I'm the rebel. But if that dispensary company can't do that, it's like your BMW and you can't talk about steering wheels and radial tires. Like, how do you even articulate your sales message? So I think you hit on probably, come to think of it, I think it's probably the number one challenge that we have right now is getting beyond this messed up Schedule One federal thing we got in the United States right now, where, it's like ask, don't ask, if we can't talk about the chief benefits of the constituent elements in our product, like CBD and THC and all these other terpenes and flavonoids and all these great molecules, I don't know any industry that's ever faced this before. It's beyond ironic. It's paradoxical.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the same in whatever umbrella you want to start categorizing things, there's the claims side. There's taxation. there's a whole lot of things at work that really get in the way of growing this industry in a positive way. I would say that's the value of us connecting, not only us to your organization, but also folks within the industry who have that longevity in mind. Who are not everyone. I think often I ask folks, why are you in this industry? It's not an easy one to be in, and there's many different reasons. But within this very colorful space, there's a lot of strong networking opportunities. I know for your organization in particular, when we're talking about education and training, that one way that you serve folks on the enterprise side is training staff. So let's say if we're talking about a dispensary who is maybe opening a single shop now, but has, you know, an objective to maybe open 25 stores in the next 5 years, and you're helping to build a framework for folks to kind of educate around that.
Yeah, I have a lot of content, and I do that strategically because then it lets me cherry pick that content for individual clients, individual enterprise clients. So, you know, we were talking about differentiators earlier. So maybe they're, you know, one dispensary company, their differentiator is that they focus on non-Delta 9 and non-CBD cannabinoids and get into terpenes and things like that. And they try to be, a little more exploratory in that effect. I can go in and I can cherry pick all my content and give them a custom solution, because I can't assume their business model. I can't assume their priorities. That's really cocky on my part to tell them how they're going to run their stinking business. Like, that's so I think you have to go in with a certain humility. And I'm just lucky that I love to create content. I have a mountain of content, and I'm able to go in and cherry pick from it. And then beyond that, we can customize at a very granular level, right? But good marketing is differentiation, and differentiation means you don't just look at your competition down the street and let's do it just like them. Great, you're going to fail. You're going to fail miserably, right? So I always want to respect that impulse to differentiate on the part of the client. And again, my strategy toward that has been to create this very large volume of training content that I can then go in and customize, because I don't think one size fits all. It's their rules. You know, that we want to make our bud tenders geniuses on terpenes. We just want to turn them into the terpene geniuses of this market. We can do that, right? If that is their marketing direction. But so first of all, I just try not to make any assumptions about where they're going with their marketing, because I really don't know. I guess the good news, we talk a lot in the industry about bad news, and especially recently with downturns and corrections and stuff. But here's the good news. Every week, so much research is released specific to, this is peer-reviewed scientific research specific to cannabis, hemp, and marijuana, that I can't keep up with it. And this is all I do. So that's really, that's really good news, because we need lots of research, right? We talked earlier about making up for that almost 100 years of prohibition. There wasn't a whole lot of research that went down during that 100 years. We had pockets of it in the 1940s, and then in the mid-1960s, Raphael Mishulam in Israel. And that couldn't even happen in the United States because of Schedule I here. Well, Schedule I didn't happen until the Nixon administration in the 70s. But it's still been since 1937 in the United States. We have put the kibosh on cannabis, cannabis possession, cannabis sales, cannabis cultivation, cannabis processing, and we just have not allowed it, right? We've turned it into this thing that wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We don't talk about that, even though all our kids go do it after middle school.
Mm-hmm. What's your prediction for the industry, just out of curiosity? Because I, like I said, I do like to ask folks, why are you in this space? But where do you think we're going to go next?
I think it is a little frightening. I want to be an optimist, but there's a lot of ignorance. So even though I chose a very challenging thing to do for my living here, the opportunity is immense. So for all of us, for the marketers, for the salespeople, for the folks running the dispensaries, you don't get bored, because there's just so much more we need to learn. I'm trying to leverage more hours during my week so I can read more of those new research studies, because they are elucidating it. The information is amazing. And sometimes, and science does this, we're saying, oh, that thing that we believed 5 or 10 or 20 years ago, guess what? It's not true. Like, it's not true at all. But wait a second, we've gone around for two decades saying that's true. So that's, you know, that's very challenging. But I would say the opportunity we all have is to recognize, interpret, and summarize all of that research. Because sometimes you need a PhD to understand this stuff. It gets really, really complicated, right? So how do folks like you and I boil it down to those essential takeaways that you can share with a customer or a patient in a dispensary in 90 seconds? Mm-hmm. You don't have 2 hours to educate them about terpenes. So what can you tell them in 90 seconds, right? Hey, my doc said I should get some terpenes in my body. What the heck is a terpene? Okay, I got 90 seconds to teach you about terpenes. How do I do that?
Yeah. Try it. Give us the 90 second lesson on terpenes. I'm just walking into a dispensary. I know nothing. I'm a new consumer. What would you tell me?
Well, cannabinoids like Delta 9 and CBD and CBG and CBN, they actually biochemically start out as terpenes and then they morph because molecules don't stay the same on Earth. They're always, environmental factors are always changing these molecules. So the reason I mention that is that terpenes and cannabinoids biochemically are very, very similar. In fact, if you kind of go out to the 30,000 foot view of them, they're almost identical. Yet the reason they have different names is because when we get precise enough, there are some distinct differences there. But my point is that efficacy, we think of efficacy in our human body. I've got chronic pain. I want to deal with that chronic pain. I don't care if it's called a cannabinoid or a terpene or a flavonoid. If it'll decrease that chronic pain, I'm in. Here's your money, dispensary. Give me something. Help me deal with that issue. Help me sleep through the night. Help me decrease my anxiety. Help me decrease my depression, right? And in fact, we found that the five surveys have shown that the five major problems that people are seeking solutions to when they walk into a dispensary are anxiety, depression, cancer, sleep disorders, and chronic pain. Mm-hmm. Those are the top five. And dispensary managers I've talked to often cite that anxiety, depending on what part of the country they're in, anxiety and sleep disorders are the two top ones. We've got a lot of people with PTSD, we've got a lot of stress in our society. And so that's totally anecdotal, but that makes sense to me that dispensary managers would tell me that anxiety and sleep disorders were the two top conditions. I will tell you in a nutshell that there are many cannabinoids and many terpenes and many flavonoids that sometimes help people deal with those issues, but sometimes, because it's subjective. And we all know someone who consumed cannabis and had a panic attack. It's something we don't like to talk about in the industry. But whereas the person sitting right beside them is like, oh my God, I've never felt better. This is amazing, right? How do we get such different outcomes from the exact same molecules? And so we've got this legal issue that you mentioned earlier of making claims. And then the other frustrating element of all this is subjective efficacy. Because even if we were allowed to just make liberal claims and go around saying, hey, CBD reduces your inflammation and that's great and everything, not for everyone. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. So now how do we deal with that? So this is just part of that complexity. It's like we have to be very careful on how we frame the issues we're discussing so consumers don't make assumptions, because they walk in with so many assumptions after the 90 years of prohibition that we just talked about that they're already kind of screwed up in the head.
Right.
And we're dealing with that situation and trying to correct it. It's like a continual game of correction, I would say. We're just trying to correct misperception.
Sure. one you see a lot on the, like on the claim side, when brands are talking about and dispensaries are talking about, well, specific to claims, there's a lot of the word might, sometimes can, of course, because no one wants to be on the hook.
Yeah.
But this will absolutely deliver XYZ results. You know, and there's a, you know, on the other side of it too, is there's folks looking to see, you know, are you making those claims? We see organizations get popped, and for the most part, for the size of folks in this industry, unless you're an MSO, you can't really afford,
right.
One lawsuit, two lawsuits,
right.
Based on claims. So
yeah, given the profitability situation, single lawsuit and you could be gone, right? And now you don't have those 35 staff members anymore and they all have to find new jobs. Right. Yeah, so I think we've done a good job of identifying the two largest challenges to the industry right now. And that is, we need to be able to make claims. And we can change that. That eventually is going to change, right? We don't know when, but eventually that's going to change here in the United States. But the other situation of subjective efficacy, we can't change the biochemical reality that one person takes just a single puff off of that joint or that pipe and they have a panic attack, and other people gain the opposite and they get positive outcomes from it. And they're like, oh, wow, that really helped. I want to do that again. We'll never change that. And it's just the hobgoblin of our industry. We're going to have to deal with that.
Right. Right. There's a few hobgoblins.
A few. Yeah. Well, I think, again, to look at it from an optimist perspective, negative outcomes in my experience are the minority. But we still have to respect them, because you know, you can't get too cocky when the person walks into your dispensary and you're like, oh, here, take this product. You're going to have a great experience. You're going to love it. Come back and see me next week. Like, you can't really be that cocky about it. It's some of the smartest people I've ever talked to and my mentors say it's a game of experimentation. And I know marketing and salespeople don't really like to hear that, right? Like, if you're selling BMWs, you're like, it might work, it might not. If it doesn't work, bring it back, whatever.
Those words don't resonate in a campaign.
That's right. Salespeople don't want to hear that. But it really is, from the patient's perspective, a game of experimentation. And so if I had some advice for the average dispensary manager or the average bud tender, I would say, whether you articulate that to your customer base or not, you need to understand that they are experimenting. They are necessarily experimenting. And so when you get those newbies coming in the door who have never done it before, boy, that's tough, right? You got to tell them all their consumption avenues, because they think you can just smoke it and that's it. They don't know maybe about edibles. They don't know about tinctures under your tongue, all these things that, you know, we've been talking for a while here today, and we haven't even had time to explore those topics.
Mm-hmm. We were at the Cannabis Marketing Summit was in town in June, and one of the stats or quotes that really kind of sticks with me is around in the retail space. They were saying the two audiences that are most ignored in the retail space are the bud tenders and the consumers. And you got to think, those are two key players in this industry to be ignored on the retail level. When you're saying, okay, dispensary owner, you need to understand that folks are experimenting. What I think also to add on to that is, it is also our job to really learn as much as we can about the consumers. What is it that they're looking for? Who are they? How are they being introduced? What are they consuming? What's, you know, consumer behavior? I don't know that it necessarily changes from state to state. There's things to be learned across the states, but you know, I would say there's not enough effort being dug into the consumers themselves.
Yeah, because consumers and bud tenders, or whatever we call them in Ohio, they call them dispensary technicians, right? However we approach that dynamic and that relationship, it is critical. And we have major shortcomings everywhere. The people who own dispensaries, the people who run dispensaries, the frontline bud tenders, and the patients and consumers, none of them understand this plant and how it interacts with our bodies as well as they should. I've been killing myself to learn everything I can about this dynamic for the last 20 years. And I'll be honest, I'm just starting to understand, like, the big picture. It's sadly complicated, but again, there are ways to simplify it, right? Like, just by telling consumers, hey, there's cannabinoids. What's a cannabinoid? Delta 9? Oh yeah, I've heard of that. CBD? Oh yeah, I've heard of that. And there's terpenes. What? There's more than just Delta 9? There's more than cannabinoids? Yes, there's this whole other class of molecules. There's more than 150 terpenes produced by cannabis. But an individual plant doesn't produce all 150 of them. It'll produce one or two dozen, okay? You know, little facts like that. You know, just because you buy some marijuana at the dispensary, don't assume you're getting alpha-pinene or limonene or terpenylene or these other terpenes, because you might not. And not all jurisdictions, not all states require dispensaries and cannabis companies to label their cannabis products. So there's people today, right now, walking into dispensaries, buying products. Nobody in the chain knows what terpenes is in that product. Are there terpenes in it? Yes, there are. Which ones? I don't know. How much? I don't know. Is that a problem? Perhaps.
Well, on the topic of subjectivity, do you have a list of your favorite terpenes, flavonoids?
I do for me personally, but again, it's extremely subjective. I like limonene a lot, and fortunately, it's one of the more common terpenes. Beta-caryophyllene, BCP, is a favorite of many of my colleagues, and I found sometimes I like it too. But we tend to talk about these molecules like they're isolated and right there. And of course, our industry does sell isolate products, right? Especially tinctures for under the tongue, sublingual consumption, where they are mostly or all, they're called isolates, obviously, and they're all this terpene or this cannabinoid. But typically, our products commingle all these molecules. So it's not a matter of saying, oh, myrcene helps me sleep, so I want to get a bunch of myrcene, because typically you're getting some myrcene mixed in with some linalool, mixed in with some BCP, mixed in with, again, a dozen others, right? And what are the ratios of all those terpenes to one another? Because that is really what determines how they affect human A. But back to the frustration, human B and human C, well, they're going to have different outcomes. So we have to generalize our discussion. That's really frustrating. I think we have to look at trends. We have to say, you know, majority of consumers, when they consume myrcene, are going to gain sleep benefits. You know, there's certain things we can say, but we always have to put that disclaimer there and warn people that this, your mileage may differ. Your mileage may differ.
Sure. Well, I was even just thinking maybe a great piece of content would be to have a, how do you pronounce all of these, or have a spelling bee? Not invited to the spelling bee. Like, not only is it hard, they're hard to pronounce, they're long, they're, you know, you can see like just simple barriers to why this isn't a larger conversation out of me being kind of silly about that. But
I like the spelling bee idea, because I've been thinking of, you know, game shows are very popular in the United States and in other parts of the world, and I've been like, because like I want to do like a podcast game show, so I might steal that spelling bee from you, I think.
Oh, well, Kurt, I also wanted to share, again, with Higher Learning LV, there's also on the consumer side, you're offering right now a cannabis for anxiety seminar based on the most recent 2023 research. So if you want to know, listeners, if you want to learn a little bit more about Kurt's work, of course, find him on LinkedIn, but his website is higherlearninglv.co. Again, there's that cannabis for anxiety seminar at the ready. And I'm so grateful for, well, for who you are in this space, the education focus that you bring, not only around training and on the consumer side, bud tenders, everybody. You're one of those folks who is driving this industry in the right direction.
Oh, well, thank you, Jen. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to your listeners. And, you know, we always have such a short slice of time, but just anything we can do to push that rock forward and get just decrease their ignorance just a little, right? And increase their knowledge level and their comfort level. And so, you know, thank you very much for helping us all do that.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much, Kurt.
You've been listening to The Cult, the Cannabis Business Marketing and Culture Podcast, presented by Hybrid Marketing Co. Please visit hybridmarketingco.com for more resources or to connect with Jen and our team. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again soon.